sky was bright with a holy light, o'er the place where Jesus lay. Alleluia, oh, how the angels sang. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with the holy light. 'Twas the birthday of the King. 'Twas a humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy way. Alleluia, oh, how the angels sang. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with the holy light. 'Twas the birthday of the King.
Every birth represents the beginning of a new life. A newborn baby is a person that never existed before it was conceived in the womb. And this has been true with every baby that has ever been born in this world, except for one. One time, and only once, a person was conceived in the womb and born into this world who had already been living before. This was Jesus. As the Son of God, Jesus dwelt in eternity. He shared glory with God the Father before the world was. In fact, the Son of God was an active participant in the creation of the world and all who have lived in it. It is He who was born on that special night so long ago. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Jesus was His name.
The circumstances of the human birth of Jesus Christ is not what we would have imagined it to be. It was such a glorious birth, and yet it was so humble. Perhaps we should have expected it to be that way. God's sovereignty does not make him proud, just the opposite. Humility is part of the nature of God. Psalms 113 and verse 6 says, that God humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. Humility is one of the attributes of God. This is why God promotes humility among men and rejects human pride. As 1 Peter 5:5 says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So it should have been no surprise that when God the Son came to earth, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and humbled himself.
In the stillness.
Jesus was born with a mission. Before the foundation of the world, God set an eternal purpose upon his Son. According to that purpose, God the Father would send his Son to earth, to become a man, to bear man's sins, and to die and to rise again to give salvation to those who would believe in him. Thus, in the humble birth of the eternal Son of God was the divine promise of eternal life. It would come with great sacrifice, but sacrifice that was born out of the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Was he born in lowly manger of hay? Thus was he born, the Father's love to display. Thus was he born, the man of Galilee.
Thus was he born.
The circumstances of Jesus' birth could not have been more dramatic. The requirement by law to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem to register and pay taxes could not have come at a more inopportune time. Mary was getting very close to her due date. The baby could come at any time. Nevertheless, she and Joseph made the journey and arrived in Bethlehem to find it a very busy and crowded small town. There was no room for them in the inn, yet Mary was great with child. And very soon upon their arrival, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. When she brought forth her firstborn child, the only place they had to lay him was in a manger. About the time of his birth, angels appeared to some shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. As the first angel appeared, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and the shepherds were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You could not make this up. It was truly amazing. Yet in the midst of the drama, there was a serenity that forever impresses upon our hearts a profound admiration at the most glorious birth that has ever occurred.
Child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keen. This is Christ the King. meanest day, where ox and ass are feeding, good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. This is Christ the King. Shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him, the King of kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King. Shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
Do babies have thoughts? This one did, no doubt. Though he submitted himself to human nature, and thus to all the physical limitations of human birth and growth, the eternal Son of God never lost consciousness of who he was and is. Through those tiny eyes, Jesus saw the faces of all those who looked upon his small body. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, Simeon and Anna, the priest in the temple, the wise men, and no doubt many others as those first days and months and years passed. He saw the faces of those whom he had created, and he saw into their souls where darkness prevailed in need of a Savior. Years later, Jesus would proclaim, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." The book of Hebrews explains this. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 through 12, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." As the infant Jesus looked upon the faces of men who wondered at this special child, and as he saw the souls of all mankind bowed down with the burden of sin, the eternal Son of God could see beyond the years to the old rugged cross upon which he would bring them forgiveness and eternal life.
On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the the place where he lay fell a shadow cold and gray of the cross that would humble a king. Jesus knew when he came he would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow. But he left paradise. With his blood he paid the price. My redemption to Jesus I owe. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. From his throne Jesus came, laid aside heaven's fame, in exchange for the cross of Calvary. For my gain suffered loss, for my sin he bore the cross. He was wounded and I was set free. Dearest Lord, evermore may thy cross I adore, as I follow the path to Calvary. Of thy death I partake, my ambition I forsake, all my will I surrender to thee. Die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live.
The shepherds came and marveled at the birth of Jesus. They could not keep quiet about it. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The wise men came and worshipped the young child Jesus. Traveling untold miles, they came bearing gifts as Gentile strangers to a Jewish home to bow before the Savior. The Savior of men. Men from every people and kindred and tongue and nation. Will you come? Will you turn from the world that cannot offer you hope and will only pass away in the end? Will you believe you are a sinner and because of it you are destined to an eternity in an inexhaustible hell? Will you believe that Jesus came to save you from your sins and to give you new life, if you will trust in him, and if you will trust in all he has done for you to provide redemption and eternal life? Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? For to as many as received him, to them God the Father grants the authority to be born again and to become his sons.
Thank you.
Come, come all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come all ye that are thirsty and have no rest. Come just as you are, without one plea, but that Jesus' blood was shed for thee. Come just as you are, and waiting not to rid your soul of one dark blot. Come just as you are, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt. Come just as you are, poor, wretched, blind. For sight and riches and healing of mind, yea, all you need in him you'll find. Come just as you are, to be received. Jesus will welcome, pardon, cleanse, and relieve. Come just as you are and know God's love that sent his Son down from above. And know that he bids you come to him whose blood can cleanse away all sin. Come just as you are and from your soul pray to the one who can make you whole. Just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. The birth of a baby is a most amazing event. You know the infant is growing in the womb, but when you actually see it for the first time at birth and hear the first sounds that come from its mouth, there is nothing to compare to it. I was present at my children's birth, all four of them, And the last was just as thrilling as the first. Jesus said this, "A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world." Well, that's not just talking about boy babies. The word man there is referring to mankind. Any person, any human person. You know, the scriptures were written in political correct terminology. So we can understand why the birth of Jesus Christ was so thrilling. In fact, it was more thrilling than all other births. Because the birth of Jesus Christ was thrilling on a whole different level. Jesus' birth was so glorious that it caused angels to sing. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Because this birth was the incarnation of God. Matthew said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name," you know it, "Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Isaiah said in chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The significance of that is that it tells us about both the human and the divine. A child is born, that's the human. A son is given, that's the divine. The same one whom angels knew as Jehovah on the throne, as in Isaiah chapter 6. You remember that marvelous, grand description of God sitting on the throne? Well, that was Jesus Christ. In fact, John chapter 12 explains that to us, that it was the same Jesus that was walking on earth and performing miracles in John chapter 12 was the one of whom Isaiah spoke when he saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, where the seraphim sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Well, the same one whom the angels knew as Jehovah on the throne was now the babe in the manger. As the angels proclaimed, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Many years ago, Mark Twain wrote a book entitled The Prince and the Pauper. Maybe you know that story, where two young fellows look very much alike, and the prince, who is very wealthy and lives in the castle, and a pauper who is very poor and a street urchin, change places. Well, perhaps this is somewhat like that, except there's no exchange of persons, only an exchange of identities. The Son of God, who was accustomed to sitting upon the throne of glory, came to earth in a very humble fashion. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." There was a mind in him. There was a thought process that went through his mind. And in that thought process, there was this: "Who being in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Nevertheless, the one who found himself in fashion as a man remained the Prince of Heaven in truth. And this was enough to make the angels sing in praise of the one who was born and in praise of the one who came to earth. But there was something else very special about this birth. And it was that Jesus' birth would ultimately make possible another birth to take place. That is, for you and me to be born again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 23 say this: For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the world, foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Born again. Unfortunately, because of Adam's abject failure in the very beginning, every one of us are humanly born with a dead spirit. But because of what Jesus Christ did, coming to this earth, incarnate, God made flesh, he was able to take upon him all of our sins and take them to the cross and suffer for them and pay for them his precious blood and die and rise again so that we might be born again, so that our spirit might come alive and we might once again have a wonderful relationship with God in heaven. In fact, every time a person is born again, the angels rejoice in heaven. Luke chapter 15, verse 4, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. What joy in heaven there is. Just as the angels sang, Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to our men. When you and I were born again, the angels rejoiced in heaven. What a marvelous thing that is. But we must ask a couple of questions, because we do not want to take anything for granted this morning. Are you a sinner? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And have you repented and accepted that fact? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have you believed that Jesus carried your sins on the cross, suffered and died in your place, and rose again to secure the authority for you to become a son of God by being born again? Whose own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Marvel not, Jesus said. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. There is nothing you have to do. It is all done. The invitation is open for you to come, just as you are, a sinner in need of a Savior. To close our service this morning, we're going to sing a song that may not seem very much like a Christmas song, and yet it's the very heart of Christmas. Just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come. And the greatest thing that could happen to you at this Christmas time is if you, not yet having received Christ as your Savior, would do just that. Come. And so as Brother Wirtz comes to lead this song, we have an open invitation to you. We trust the message has been clear. And if you have not received Christ as your Savior, we would surely relish an opportunity to talk to you and lead you to Christ, who will make you born again in himself, so that not only will we rejoice here, the angels in heaven will rejoice as well. So come as we sing this closing song. And if you have already come and done this, may the reminder of that precious moment be a wonderful thing in your heart as we sing this song.